Let me pray. Lord God, it is so sweet to praise your name. Lord, you are unfathomable. And we sit here and just try to articulate the many things that you deserve our praise for. Lord, hear our love. Thank you for being who you are. In your name, amen. Welcome to Grace Bible Church. This is the time in our service where we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so, as we do that, I want to look at Psalm 148. We just sang Praise His Name. That was the first song we sang this morning. And that's a paraphrase of this psalm. And so, turn with me there. And if you don't have a Bible, there are men in the front that would love to get one in your hands. Just raise your hand and they'll bring one to you. And if you don't own a Bible, this is our gift to you. Psalm 148 is a catalog, kind of a roll call of everything and everyone that owes God praise. The list is exhaustive. There's nothing left out. If it exists, it should be praising God. The psalmist is so moved by God's glory that he just can't stop naming reasons to praise God. He works through creation piece by piece, making sure nothing is left out. He starts in the heavens, he moves to the earth, and then he lands on who God is that deserves all of this. And so we're going to look at these three sections quickly this morning. So as you have your Bibles open, just start at Psalm 148:1. Praise Yah. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, heavens, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. We just sang these words, reaches of heaven, starry heights, lights of the evening dancing in silent skies, brilliance of morning breaking day. The psalm starts looking up. Before the psalmist ever looks at the earth, he looks up. Angels, hosts, there are beings who have stood in God's presence since before time began. They've seen his glory unfiltered, and their response is praise. It's not a duty. It's the only reasonable response to what they've witnessed. The sun, the moon, the stars of light, the highest heavens. Think about what he's calling to praise. The sun that burns at millions of degrees, the stars you can't count. Every one of them exists because God spoke. And that's the point. Verse 5 says, he commanded and they were created. He opened his mouth and the heavens came into being. Let that sink in for a minute. When was the last time you left the lights of the city and just looked at the stars? For me, it was when we took our elder retreat in October, which is kind of a while ago. We were driving back from Prescott to my dad's ranch and we took a back road. And at one point, we just stopped. We got out of our trucks and we looked up and just stood in the quiet darkness of the clear sky. It's a different sky out there, and there's no wonder that the psalmist was moved to sing these praises. It was a great moment to remember who God is and how great and vast he is. And then next, the psalmist calls the earth to praise him. Look at verse 7. Praise Yahweh from the earth. Sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind doing his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds. Again, we just sang these words, mightiest mountains, peaceful plains, snowfall and fire thundering ocean waves. The psalmist moves us from above to around us. He starts in the heaven with angels and stars, and now he's on earth, and he's just as thorough. Sea monsters in the deeps, the creatures we've never seen, the parts of the ocean we've never explored, they praise him. Fire, hail, snow and clouds, wind, the weather we can't control, the storm that cancels our plans, the snow that shuts down cities, it's all doing his word. It's not random, it's obedient. Mountains and hills, fruit trees, cedars, beasts and cattle, creeping things, winged birds, He moves from the largest to the smallest. Nothing is too big, nothing is too small to be beyond his rule. If it exists on earth, it owes him worship. And then verse 13. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. The psalmist has worked through the heavens. He's worked through the earth. Everything that exists has been called to praise him, and now he tells us why. His name alone is exalted. Not his name among many, not his name above others, his name alone. There's no competition, there's no comparison. Every other name that has ever been exalted, every king, every empire, every ruler, every president, they all fade in light of him. His name alone remains. This is the God we're called to praise. The God who made everything, the God who commands everything. The heavens declare his glory. The earth shows his handiwork, and none of it comes close to capturing who he is. And yet, this God did something that even the heavens and the earth cannot fully declare. Remember the bridge of the song, Jesus, Lamb for sinners slain, name above all other names, praise him. That's Revelation 5. John sees the throne room of heaven. The angels are there, the living creatures, the elders, the hosts who have been praising God for creation since the beginning. And what are they singing? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Why in the context of all creation are they enamored with the Lamb? Because something went wrong in creation. The same psalm that calls everything to praise God is calling people who have refused to praise him. We were made to worship him, and we worshiped ourselves. And that rebellion deserves judgment. So the Lamb, the God, who commanded the stars into existence, took on flesh, lived the life we've refused to live, and offered himself as the Lamb on the cross. The judgment fell on him instead. He bled, he died, and he rose. That's why Revelation 5 matters. John sees the throne room and hears the song of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. They're not singing about the stars. They're not singing about the mountains. They're singing about the Lamb who was slain, because redemption is greater than creation. Making something out of nothing is glorious. Saving rebels who hated you and making them your children, that's why they're praising. In fact, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:12 that the angels long to look into these things, the gospel, the redemption of sinners. The angels are praising God for creation since before time, but the rescue of sinners, that's something they lean in to watch. So Christian, as we come to the Lord's table and hold the bread in our hands, it's the body of the Lamb, and the cup that was the blood that was poured out for us, this is the gospel the angels are leaning in to see. And we don't just observe it like they do. We participate in it. The angels can sing worthy is the Lamb, but they don't get to take communion. They weren't redeemed. They watched the gospel from the outside. The God whose majesty is above heaven and earth bled for you. The Lamb was slain for you. Let's remember that. But this table isn't for everyone. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Christ, this time is not for you. We don't say this to exclude you. We're so glad you're here. But this bread and this cup are for those who have received what the Lamb has accomplished. It's a family meal for those who have been brought into the faith. And 1 Corinthians 11:27 warns that if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It's serious. So if you're not a believer, let the elements pass you by. But don't let this moment pass you by. Today can be the day you put your trust in Christ. Admit that you have failed. Admit the God that created everything did so much more when he went to the cross. And put your trust in him. Christian, as you take the bread and the cup, remember the Lamb, the God who made everything, saved you. The angels are watching, and you get to eat. Men, come serve us, pray, and take communion on your own. And when you're done, I'll come back and close our time.